This is Classic Business on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
This feature is brought to you by BDO, the fastest growing audit advisory and tax firm globally.
Classic Business. Tax.
Well, it's about 12 minutes to the top of the hour. We're now joined on the line by Ian Edwards, who's a partner and Africa Regional Manager at Austin Morris Associates. And as part of our text feature, we're talking about how South African residents working abroad can legally reduce the coming expat tax. Ian, thank you so much for your time and welcome.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about this expat tax. I mean, a lot of people, some are concerned, as I mentioned in my intro, and some, you know, are not quite sure what to do. Let's go back a little bit by discussing, you know, why, in your opinion, you think that SARS has decided to go this route of targeting those who work abroad.
I think that the main concern is if you look at the amount of individuals that are considering and having the opportunity to work abroad, it is created obviously in certain areas like a Dubai, where it's a favorable tax regime, where they can earn abroad, they can then come back to their families, whether they, for example, work on the ships or contractual work or independent contractors working into Africa, where they do have a dollarized income. So from a SARS perspective, it makes obvious sense that they can cast a wider net to be able to gain a larger amount of taxable income for the country, especially when economically and politically it's rather unstable. As the gentleman before quite pointed out, it is a means that the country needs to find additional taxable income to fund any of the various different projects or requirements. That's a shrinking base. And so it does make it an obvious target to be able to look at those who are enjoying the ability to earn in a harder currency in favorable tax countries.
So for those who may not necessarily understand what it means for them or even families that they know who work abroad, tell me about these new rules. What exactly is it proposing?
I think to just put a direct point out, I would always say it's a case-by-case example. We as a company aren't tax advisors, but what we do look towards is assisting individuals, and I'll give an example to try and help the listeners try and put this into perspective. So where it's coming into play is from 2020, those that are working abroad and not on every given case, anything north of R1 million in terms of the income will then form part of their taxable income. So anywhere up to 45%. So let me give you a better example because it's a handful of people that were looking at. Pilots that are flying in Dubai. They are living in Dubai. They're South African taxpayers. They submit their tax submissions every year. Now, the challenge for them is they look at it and say, well, what will be the implications? So first of all, it's always a point of, get yourself a personalized tax opinion from a registered tax practitioner and not what is discussed around the table. Because I think a lot of times there's too much general dinner discussion versus getting fact information to make a decision. So the aspect remains those that either that their families live here or now they live abroad, but let's use Dubai as an example, but remain tax resident here. When they submit their tax returns post-2020, anywhere north of R1 million, they will have it now taxable in South Africa, but the potential to be. Not everybody, and again, I would say to any of the listeners that are concerned to get your own tax opinion based on your circumstances. But for many of the people that we are chatting to, the bigger concern comes into not the how, which has been much publicized and spoken about, but I believe more the implications. So again, if I can elaborate on that, the point being that if someone had to pay more tax into South Africa, you do what you need to do because you're South African tax resident and you're taxing your global income. That's fact and that remains. Where it comes into an individual consideration is if you had to have a further 30% or more reduced from your bottom line, can you continue to live in those more expensive cities, which is where we're finding a challenge for some of the individuals that I've just mentioned. A 30% cut from their family take home to the homes of where they're living abroad, that can almost make it unlivable. So they have to then decide, do they continue contributing or consider other means, which again has been publicized, like financial immigration.
Right. And you propose a way or a couple of ways which residents can legally reduce the coming expat tax. Take me through that.
Absolutely. So, again, within the company structure that we look at, we do try and not just discuss the implications of it. We look at an individual base and say, how can we best support that individual? So one of the means, which is from one of the trustees that we deal with, is having the ability to renegotiate your international contract to have a foreign pension, and I use it lightly, from an unapproved pension perspective, where you can reduce your taxable income. Now, this is not saying that it's your typical retirement annuity or provident fund or anything that's related to a South African perspective. This is for those individuals who are in possibly a smaller company where they can have the flexibility to do that. So your larger, big international corporates, that won't be applicable just because of the reason that a company won't look to adjust a contract just for an individual. But that is one of the means that they can look at if it suits them and if it is most viable. That would be probably the most, you know, from a legal reduction perspective, one of the options that they may consider. Hmm.
And is this an option that you can put on the table, say that this is your first job overseas and you're now, you know, negotiating your contract? Is this something that you could put on the table? And I suppose the other side of the question then be, how willing would your employer be to adjusting your contract for this?
Well, both good points. And that's why we say it's not applicable to everybody. If it's your first job overseas, it depends also on your income. So if you're earning less than 1 million rand in harder currency, then no, I wouldn't look to adjust it based on the fact that you're falling under the threshold. If it's going to have a sizable impact and you're employing somebody who can cater for that, then that is an option to have a look at, take a formal tax opinion on yourself, see if it's viable. But in some cases, it won't be based on the fact that you are working for, let's say, one of the larger banks or a large blue-chip company where they won't be as favorable to making an adjustment just for the individual person. But I think looking at the consideration is to say, what is it that I'll be earning? What is it above that I would be then taxable? Sitting down with a tax practitioner and saying, what is our most viable option? And like what I said, failing which... And it's not the silver bullet, which it sometimes may be painted out to be, is considering the aspect of the financial immigration where, as I mentioned, that those persons before, they may need to look and consider that based on the fact that they cannot continue to live in a country which has higher cost of living, higher schooling costs, and still have a reduction of up to 45% on their bottom line take home for the family.
One of the criticisms of this is that, I mean, if it obviously when it is implemented, SARS might see some marginal gains in the short term, but perhaps in the longer term, we might see more South Africans, you know, rather opting to financially immigrate or seize text residency. Is that something that's a concern for you as well?
Very much. I mean, as a patriotic South African, the last thing I want to see is the highly skilled labor that it has made a decision generally best for themselves and their family to have a harder currency income, now being put into a corner, having to make the decision to cease their tax residency in South Africa. Considering the fact that I read it the other day, that there's about 650-odd individuals leaving to New Zealand a month. Those are taxpayers, generally educated individuals or business owners, and those are individuals that we need in South Africa, paying the tax, helping move this economy forward, feeding all the required steps that have been put in place by the government. So to have that as a fallout, I don't, you know, this is where it's that heart versus head conversation for me, where I understand the decision and put in the same position, I would consider it. But as a patriotic South African, you don't want to have further qualified earning individuals, you know, being forced to leave the country from a tax residency perspective.
Before I let you go, and on top of the advice that you've given us on the show tonight, how important is it for South Africans to be a little bit more aware of their global personal tax obligations to SARS? Because I get the sense that sometimes people may not know what exactly is happening and what they should be paying.
I think it is one of the most fundamental considerations based on the fact that there are many clients that we've come across that actually don't know their obligation as a global taxpayer. So as a South African taxpayer, you're taxed on your global income. I mean, there are many other various considerations, which obviously is not construed as advanced because based on the fact that it would be applicable to the individual. But there are many individuals that I would say don't have a full understanding in terms of what their obligations are, what they need to be looking at, and generally have taken advice where it is maybe third, fourth down the line and lines have been blurred. So as a company, our firm's focus is always have a discussion with a registered tax practitioner where you can formulate your own individual tax opinion. It's not costly, or I don't think in terms of the implications of getting it wrong, and understand exactly what your obligations are. And you know, best case scenario, it may not be as what you think it is, because, again, the media will paint this as end of days for anybody working abroad. But I think it's most fundamental to understand what are your obligations, and how does it sound from your, if you, for example, if you have a family in South Africa, or if you live abroad, when did you mentally consider ceasing your residency in South Africa? So there's so many factors. And again, if you don't get the right professional advice, it can just spin out where I always just say, speak to a tax practitioner, understand where you are, and you know, hopefully speak to a company like ourselves to try and see if we can also assist you from a local and international perspective.
Ian, thank you so much for your time. That's Ian Edwards, who's a partner and Africa Regional Manager of Austin Morris Associates. This feature was brought to you by BDO, the fastest growing audit advisory and tax firm globally.
To succeed, need you all have you sometimes need have you to succeed. All you need sometimes to succeed. You have sometimes to succeed. You have all you need. Sometimes you have all you need to succeed. You just need someone to bring clarity, order, and direction. BDO. Audit, advisory, tax.